Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Voice of Change. I am Sharon Ann Wyckoff, and delighted to have you with us today. The Voice of Change brings to Internet radio individuals speaking out on pertinent aspects of life during these transformational times. Spiritual leaders, enlightened teachers, educational professionals, business experts, artists, and youth can all be heard in the Voice of Change, sharing their perspective, expertise, and insights to support, encourage, and inspire new ways for these changing times. Today, it is my delight to have Sandy Goodwin back with us. Today, her topic will be the 5 steps to inner confidence, how to get out of your own way and ease into action. Doesn't that sound like a great idea? Sandy is an inner confidence coach and specializes in helping solo entrepreneurs and other service professionals to stop allowing procrastination from holding them back into achieving their goals. Sandy has over 25 years of experience gently supporting and guiding women through their doubts and fears into a life of certainty and confidence. So welcome, Sandy.
Well, thank you, Sharon. I'm delighted to be
yes.
here.
Yes, I couldn't get that out. Perfectionistic, right?
There you go. Perfectionistic procrastination.
Oh, yes. That's a tongue twister.
It is.
Oh, it is. Well, we'll have to get into that. You are a life coach, so would you tell our listeners a little bit about what a life coach does and how long you've been doing this work?
Sure. A life coach, I like to use the analogy of a sports coach because most people know what sports coaches are. They work with their athletes to help them really be their best, to get through any obstacles to their performance and to help them reach their goals. So really, as a life coach, that's what I do for people, although I do it for their lives. And I particularly work with women building their confidence. I have worked with men as well, but I generally work with women in helping them build their confidence to master the fears and the self-doubts, the thing that perfectionistic procrastination gets in the way of making decisions and taking the actions to have what they want in their life, to make those changes they want to make.
That is great. I love the analogy you have of a sports coach to a life coach. That just makes such sense.
Mm-hmm. Because life coaching is a fairly new profession, and so people are starting to hear a little bit about it. Sometimes they see a little bit on TV and TV shows but aren't really sure what they do. So it makes it easier to understand from the sports coach to the life coach.
Oh, of course.
And I've been doing this. You asked a question about how long I've been coaching. I've been coaching generally since about 2000 is when I went into the first coaching program. Excuse me. I was a nursing instructor before that, so I really feel like I've been coaching people, students, for many years. That's why probably 25 years I've been coaching people. But officially as a life coach, started in about 2000, was certified in 2002, and been doing it ever since.
How nice. Isn't it fun to recreate yourself?
It's what life is all about.
Isn't it always
recreating ourselves.
Oh, we sure are. We sure are. What is inner confidence, and how is that different, Sandy, from self-confidence?
Yes. So inner confidence, when people talk about confidence and self-confidence, they're generally talking about their ability to do something, to reach a goal, to handle a task. And so I define inner confidence as really about believing and trusting yourself, because a lot of times I may be confident in doing a specific skill, for example, but when it comes to overall confidence, believing in myself to be able to handle anything, to be able to make my decisions and decide on what I want internally and know that that's right for me and that's the right choice for me, that takes what I call inner confidence. So it's really about the self-belief and self-trust in yourself regarding any situation, being confident in any situation.
Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful explanation.
Thank you.
And where do you think the lack of confidence comes from? You know, why do we sometimes have that lack within ourselves?
I find that with my clients, you know, in my own experience too, they're sort of a couple of key areas. One, I think there's a certain type of personality that tends to be to have lack of confidence. And some of that personality ends up going into things like perfectionism and people-pleasing. And so it's just more of a kind of a heart-centered person that really is more aware of other people and wanting to do everything well, not wanting to disappoint anyone. So part of it, I think, is a little bit of personality. The other areas that happen then is really about the upbringing. You know, how were you raised? Some of us were raised in families where mistakes were encouraged. And what, you know, whenever you did something, everything was a learning opportunity, and you were really encouraged in terms of exploring and doing things. And others of us had families where there was a lot of criticism. It was almost not okay to be who you are, and it wasn't okay to make mistakes. That was bad.
So true.
And so when you got those thoughts in your head, you started as a child, because most social scientists say we get our beliefs and our systems kind of in place when we're very, very young, maybe 2, 3, 4 years old. And so when we keep kind of hearing that things we're doing aren't okay, and we perceive that as we're not okay. And so that makes us really reluctant to believe in ourselves and also to try different things. So as we've had the upbringing that we had, we created our own belief system. And our belief system was that, you know, I'm a cool person and I can do all kinds of things, or maybe I'm not really good at what I do and I do everything wrong and this other person knows more than me. So again, we develop beliefs and then they carry on through our lives.
Certainly. It's almost like we have to have a recreation of our family like having a life coach there to really, you know, to change those beliefs, don't we?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I do with my clients, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about a book that I have coming out, and it's also a book that I talked about, is about creating those belief systems, because a life coach can help you identify what your beliefs are, you know, what is getting in your way. We're going to talk about that a little bit more today, and also to maybe be the kind of mentor, the kind of person that you want that really encourages you. I know a lot of my clients will say to me, I can tell you anything, you are so non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, that's a great compliment that I receive from them, and it helps me to help them, because they're more likely to explore and be willing to be vulnerable and be willing to try different things if they feel that there's somebody who's not there judging them, because they probably had that from their upbringing. We all did. I mean, we all did. And so that's one of the ways that, yes, a life coach can be sort of that objective, non-family person mm-hmm. who can really help you explore things.
Oh, so true. It makes me reflect back to my work with children. And with children, you know, we want to give them the freedom to be able to make mistakes and learn from those. And, you know, so many of us didn't have that opportunity. So it's like, you know, when you're non-judgmental, you know, the person must feel that, you know, they don't have to be perfect. They can kind of go out there risking and trying something different, and it's okay if it doesn't all work.
Exactly. And for myself, you know, I am what I call a recovering perfectionistic, people-pleasing nice girl. I said I was always going to maybe create a group called Perfectionistic People-Pleasing Nice Girls. And so sort of I understand the perfectionist of procrastination, understanding that people pleasing, because I have that in my own life, and it's something that I've been working on. And so I think that's maybe one of the reasons that, you know, being open and being respectful and being non-judgmental is so important to me. Mm-hmm. Because in my own mind, as I developed my own perfection and people pleasing, it was about being really attuned and really sensitive to criticism.
Yes.
So when I work with my clients, that is not something I want to be. What I want to show them is that, yes, it is okay to make mistakes. Yes, you don't have to be perfect. And you can ask any perfectionist if they think they're perfect, and they would say, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It's the drive to try and do things just right and not make mistakes. But perfectionists do not think they're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on the contrary. So I think that's why, as you're saying with children, you know, a lot of us didn't get that it was okay to make mistakes. So now some of my clients are almost in a place where they're kind of like being a child so they can make mistakes and be okay.
Yes. Yes, they have to go back and really kind of be able to be in that space. Because in order to really step forward and risk, you do have to have that feeling that, okay, you know, I can do that. And if it doesn't work the first time, I can try something different.
You bet.
As we're going to go on in a moment to the five steps to inner confidence, but before we do, could you speak just a little bit more about perfectionistic procrastination? Do you feel that when someone, let's see, how do I want to word this? When someone has a tendency to be perfect in everything they do, do you think that they just stop moving forward because and procrastinate because they can't do it perfectly? Just can you speak a little bit more about that term? I think it's a beautiful combination of words.
Okay, great, thanks. And you pretty much hit it, Sharon. It really keeps them from moving forward.
Okay.
I look at perfection. I mean, a procrastination is there's like different ways of procrastination. And there's one form of procrastination that's just sort of like, I really don't want to do it. That's boring. Or, that's one form of procrastination. People procrastinate because they just don't really want to do it. And then the perfectionistic procrastinators, it kind of falls in two different areas. One is that they may know what to do, but they don't do it.
Yes.
Or they may not know what to do. I have sometimes clients say, well, I really want to make a change in my life, but I really don't know exactly what it is I want. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that gets in the way. Generally, perfectionistic procrastinators, which is a form of the perfectionism itself, goes into analysis paralysis, which means that we think and weigh everything and see all different angles before we can make any kind of decision. So with perfectionistic procrastination, what's happening is getting into the analysis paralysis and not being able to move forward until everything's lined up, until you know exactly how it's going to turn out, which, of course, you can't.
Right.
and so all that keeps them from moving forward. So it keeps them stuck because they don't want to move forward until they know what they're doing, know how it's going to be done, know all the steps that's going to happen, and it's going to work out right. So you can definitely stop yourself. Now, whether that's getting into a relationship, a new relationship, whether that's learning a skill, whether it's going to school, whether it's finding a new career, whether it's, I just wrote a book, so I was hearing a lot of this in this book writing group that I was with that, people are getting stuck in that because it's new and it's different. So anytime something's new, the perfectionist wants to have all these things lined up. And so they procrastinate. Therefore, they procrastinate. And the title of my book, just I'll kind of mention it right now, titled it, I Think, Therefore I Doubt, 12 Key Principles.
I love that title.
Thanks. The subtitle is 12 Key Principles to Build Self-Confidence and Self-Trust for Perfectionists, People-Pleasers, and Heart-Centered Women. And the reason I titled it, I Think, Therefore I Doubt, is that's the perfectionist procrastinator. We think so much, and we don't really know what we want to do. We self-doubt ourselves, so we don't move forward. So there's a lot of making, the other thing with perfectionist procrastination is actually making a decision, because decisions can be challenging. Because once a perfectionist makes a decision, that means they've committed. And once they've committed in their mind, that means they have to do it.
Yes.
So they doubt so that they don't make the decision and they don't move forward.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. It is. It really is. And it's something that, we just can't hear it, I don't think, and change overnight. But it has to be something that we practice, ongoing to have this confidence and change our ways.
Absolutely.
Find that.
You're absolutely right.
All righty. Well, let's talk a little bit about your five steps to inner confidence. It sounds so easy, just five steps and we're there, huh?
Yes. It's five steps, I think that makes it a little bit more doable to look at.
Yes.
And I'm not saying 5 minutes to inner confidence. It doesn't quite work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I have the 5 steps. And the first one, and again, some of these are covered in the book, and some of them are not, that I'm just talking about today.
Okay.
And elaborating a little bit on. So the first one is to know yourself. Because, again, as I said, in order to develop inner confidence, you have to know who you are.
Yes.
And a lot of times what happens with perfectionists and people pleasers is they get so focused on everybody else that they don't focus on themselves. So with the perfectionist, they'll focus on maybe everybody else knows better than they do. So they'll check with everybody else. And so after a while, you can sort of not even know who you are.
Yes.
And with people pleasers, the same thing can happen. With people pleasers, is they're so busy going about making sure everybody else is happy and taking care of everybody else's needs that they don't know what their own are, what their own needs are, and who they are. So you can really kind of get enmeshed in other people. So the first thing in knowing yourself is, in order to build confidence, you have to know who you are and what you believe and what you like and what you want to do in order to build the confidence. So one of the things that I have in the book is an exercise on what I call scavenger hunt. Remember scavenger hunts?
Sure.
Yeah, so they were fun. You had a list, and you had to go around, and you had to find things.
Yes.
Well, what I propose is doing, and you know, and whether you have the book or not, you can do the same time, is to do your own scavenger hunt. And it's a scavenger hunt about your own life. So just for example, what are some of the things that you truly value in life? What are your favorite colors? What are your favorite TV shows or movies? What types of books do you like to read? What are your opinions on political issues? What things really bother you in life? What would you do if you had a whole day off? What are some skills or qualities that you like about yourself? What are some quirky things that you do?
Great question.
What hours do you like to get up and go to bed? What hours are the best work hours for you? So all these little things, and there's a whole list of them, but you can just kind of explore your own life so that you know, again, in developing your own belief and confidence and trust in yourself, to know, hey, this is what I think about this. This is what I like to do. So that you can, again, start to know that as you start moving forward and making some changes in your life.
That's a great first step.
Yeah.
So important.
And a fun one, too.
So, it, yes, yes. Well, the way that you, you know, put it together, a scavenger hunt, that's just a very clever idea.
Yeah,
very,
thanks.
Very clever. Okay, so that is step number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very broad one and yet so, so very important to really have that feeling of who you are.
Yes, because once you know who you are, you have, you know, every single one of us is a unique person. And, you know, one of the things that we do a lot of times is compare ourselves to others, which is it's a strange thing that we do that. We compare ourselves to others, which is natural. I mean, it's a natural thing to do as human beings, but it's really hard to compare to someone else because nobody's the same.
Exactly.
Everybody's a unique person. We're all created uniquely, and we have our own unique spin on things, our own unique opinions and values. We're not the same as someone else. So when we continue to compare, it is sort of like that, you know, apples to oranges. We're not the same.
Yes.
And so this exercise is one way to say, you know, what's unique about me? What is it that, you know, what goes through my brain and my, you know, thoughts and what I love and value really helps you bring the uniqueness to you.
And then honoring that truly, you know, and being okay with the difference is an important part of that too, I think.
Absolutely. Just for one example, I put in there about the what hours do you like to get up and go to bed is because I'm a late night person and my husband's an early morning person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I know early morning person people in my life and I might like to be that, but it just isn't me.
Yes.
And so, you know, so I'm always hearing, you know, my husband will say from often, well, if you just go to bed earlier and get up earlier, you could blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And so,
right.
And I'm saying, and so I started sometimes saying to him, you know, if you just went to bed later, because, you know,
yes.
I've You know, I do. Like this week, I decided this week I was going to get up early. I was going to do it, you know. And I actually got a lot done, but I still ended up working later and longer.
Oh, I know.
And still going to bed almost the same time that I did. So I was just tired. And so I think you can do that. I think it's, you know, a habit creation. And I work on my own right now, so I don't have to go somewhere and clock in. So I think that makes a difference.
Yeah.
But that is part of who I am and part of what makes me different
and
makes me unique. And so that is part, and that is sort of honoring that.
Right.
So that's just a little quick example.
Oh,
I kind of decided to start asking, you know, saying the other way around instead of them wanting me to get up. Why don't you stay up later?
Right. Oh, exactly. I know. As an elementary teacher for many years, I did have to get into the early morning rising. But basically, I'm a night person too, so I totally relate to what you're sharing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Certainly, we can do it. When I worked as a nursing instructor and had to be with the students in the hospital at 6:45 in the morning, I did because I did. But if I'm on my own, I do what's natural.
Oh, exactly. Yes. Oh, for sure. Okay. Wonderful first step. And what about step two?
Step two is really to determine what you want. It sounds very simplistic to say, well, just figure out what you want. But it's not always that simplistic.
Right.
A lot of times we don't know what we want. And so, again, sometimes some of my clients, as I mentioned earlier, will come to me saying, well, I really want to make a change here, but I'm not exactly sure what I want. So clarity is really important. It's kind of like your life is a map. And if we were going to any destination, we would, you know, if we were going to go travel somewhere, we would know our starting point. And we'd know where we wanted to go. We would have our end, where we were going. You know, like if I'm traveling from San Francisco to L.A., I know I'm going to L.A., okay? So, but what happens a lot of times in our lives is there's no direction. So there's no goal or vision or dream. And so we just sort of exist day by day.
Sure.
And when you do that, that's fine if that's the way you want to live. Yet, if you're wanting to make a change, whether, again, it's a change in your career, whether you decide you want to get, you know, lose weight or get healthy, whether you want to find a mate or improve a relationship, whether you want to learn how to do a skill like writing, whether you want to go back and get your education, you have to be very clear on what it is you want. And so having that clarity of what it is you want will help you gain the momentum. One, it's getting clear on what you want. Second is saying, I'm really going to do it. Okay? Because, again,
The commitment.
And that's, you know, I call it the C word in the book. I talk about the C word as like one of the scariest words, commitment, for people to do. And, again, for perfectionists and procrastinators, because committing means, oh, man, then I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And so, but having that committing to it is the way to go. There's a book called This Year I Will by MJ Ryan. And I'm just reading this book, and she was talking about the same kind of thing about setting a goal. And she was saying that she calls it, I think, the I really, really want it test.
Ah, yeah.
And so when she says when somebody wants something, they say they want it, but they're really not doing anything about it, she tells them they fail the I really, really want it test.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Isn't it? Because if you really, really want something, you will move towards doing this. I've been thinking about writing a book for years, but I never got it to the point where I really, really wanted it. And so when I finally got to the point where it is time, and actually that was kind of the thought in my brain was, it's time.
Yes.
And so when I did that, it shifted from it would be nice sometime to, you know, to the commitment. I'm going to do it. It's time. And then that moved me forward to getting it done.
Yes, yes. Oh, that must have been an interesting process, Sandy, to really decide you're going to do it and then move forward and really accomplish that.
It was. Once I decided I wanted to do it, the next step was really knowing the how. And I talk about that with my clients, too. So And we'll talk a little bit about that here today, too. But once you've committed, then you kind of say, you don't have to, with perfectionistic procrastination, they want to know how to do everything, mm-hmm. and they're not going to commit until they know how. And so that was part of mine. And so I actually found a program that was called Write a Book in a Weekend
by
a lady named Donna Kozik, K-O-Z-I-K. And so with that, I had some guidance. In terms of, I mean, how to write a book and how you put it together and that kind of thing. Mine's self-published, so it's not done with a publisher or a formal publisher.
Well, it's better, I think, because you get to control the message then, you know.
It is. I'm totally controlling the message, the size, how I want it to look, the whole thing. So,
yeah, exactly.
But once I committed, it gave me the motivation. So determining in step two here of the five steps to inner confidence, determining what you want and being to the place where you say, I want to make it happen. I don't know how yet, but I want to make it happen.
Right.
You don't have to know how yet. You just have to decide what you want and say, okay, that's what I want.
Sure. And then sometimes, you know, this truth out there I've heard is that, you know, when you actually make that commitment, the universe supports it. And, you know, just like you found the person to actually do the work weekend with. So the universe kind of supports that, but that decision to do something has to be there for first.
Yes, and I have in my book one of my favorite quotes by William Hutchinson Murray, or W.H. Murray, is what I think you're saying there, and I'll just read a little piece of it if you don't
mind.
Sure. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy. The chance to draw back always ineffective. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too.
Mm.
A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance, which no man could have dreamt would have come his way.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, love that one.
Beautifully put.
So once you commit, then as you said, things happen to help you along.
Exactly. I have a question. This is something that I have heard as a spiritual truth, and yet I can see where it falters, and that is the idea that in some spiritual teachings, they say, you know, you don't have to know exactly what you want. You want this or something better, and let the universe bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen, unless you really do, you know, have a direction, you have an idea of where you're going, just like you said, that roadmap, it can't be done. So what would you say about that truth? Do you think that's a little bit off there?
Well, that's sort of a law of attraction truth, I think, where a lot of law of attraction people talk about that. And I believe in the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I think the specificity is important.
Yes.
Because if you say, for example, that, you know, it's kind of like going to a restaurant. I read this somewhere, and I don't know where I read it. It was just, I loved it. It was like you go to a restaurant, and you say, would you please bring me what I want to the waiter?
Exactly.
Right? And the waiter's like, well, sure, but you got to tell me what you want, right? So I think the universe is sort of like that too. You got to be a little bit more specific because otherwise the universe won't know what to bring you.
Exactly. Oh yeah.
And so if you're committed and you make a decision on something, then not only that, I think your mind is more attuned to it. So like for example, when I decided, I'm going to write this book, but I kind of want to write one. So then I started being more attuned to, I would see things on, you know, programs that were out there on the internet or that I saw on Twitter or I saw somewhere, right? And I would notice books more. And so things, then ideas of what I could put in the book kind of came into my head. And I would write things. I sort of journal coach myself sometimes and say, well, what would you want to write about? You know, and so then I would just get quiet and listen to what came out of my head. So I think there is some truth to the universe was bringing things, but I had to say what I wanted first.
Yes. Oh, what a What a great truth. Just want to take a short station announcement here and want to let you know that you are listening to The Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff, and Sandy Goodwin is my guest today. She is a inner confidence coach, and we're talking about the five steps to inner confidence. We do have people on the line today, so I will just say that we'll be taking calls or questions if you would like to do that. If you just push one on your touchtone pad, you can let me know that way that you would like to ask Sandy a question or make a comment a little bit later in the program, and then we will put you on the lines. So let's go back now. You're talking about the five steps to inner confidence, and we are on step number three.
Yes, so just to go back to see what we've had so far, is step number one is know yourself. Really get to know what it is that, you know, who you are, what you like, what your opinions are, what your thoughts are, what makes you unique and different from other people. The step two is determine what you want, and that's just what we were talking about. So be really clear and specific on what it is that you want to, you know, to change in your life, to do, to accomplish. Don't have to figure out the how yet, but just be really clear on this is what I want.
Yes.
And now we're on step number three, which is figure out what's stopping you.
Mm.
Okay, so this is the big one. So this is where the procrastination, the perfectionism, that, you know, all that sort of thing comes about. Because sometimes also I'll have clients that'll say, well, I know what I want. I know I want to, become a doctor, but I just don't think I can do it. Okay.
Yeah.
So the figuring out what's stopping you is another thing that I do with my clients and we can do in coaching, is to figure out, again, specifically, so you know, it's like they're your signs and symptoms of what's happening with you. And so just as when we were talking about getting clear about what you want to be clear about what is stopping you. So sometimes I'd say probably the most common one is fear, right? I mean, lack of confidence stems from fear, some type of fear. Fear of what other people think, fear of doing it wrong, fear of failure, all those sorts of fears come up. And also not knowing how to do it. You know, I think that one comes up a lot too. What's stopping you? I know a lot for me is, well, I don't know how to do it. And so that not knowing how to do it was stopping me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think looking at your fears, looking at maybe what's stopping you and in terms of not knowing how to do something, and then excuses. We use a lot of excuses. And
sure.
What I say about excuses is that the thing with excuses is there's always at least a shred of truth in them, right?
Mm.
So if we say, I don't have time, we can all pretty much agree that, you know, time is limited and we're really busy and we have things to do. So saying I don't have time, like I'll go back to my example with, with my book, or using somebody's example of wanting to, lose some weight or get fit or whatever, something like that. Oh, I just don't have the time. Okay, so you don't have any time in the day to walk around a block, to take the stairs instead of, the elevator. So time is, there's a truth to the fact that there isn't that much time, but we're using it as an excuse.
Yes, yeah.
And the
when
same
you break
thing
it
with,
down, it makes it easier to see what is the exact problem is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So in order to be able to sort of master or move through what's stopping you, you have to know specifically what that is.
Yeah.
And then be honest about it. And of course, these days, people saying, I don't have the money.
Mm, yes.
Definitely a reality for a lot of people, for a lot of people. But are you using that as an excuse? Meaning, so one of the things I sometimes ask is, well, if you had the money, what would you do?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could have said in writing a book, oh, I don't have the time or the money to write a book. People could say who are trying to lose weight, well, I don't have the money to join a gym. Okay, so maybe you don't. What else could you do? right? What could you do that didn't have money? Or if you had the money, because a lot of times, again, if you had the money, would you do it? Because a lot of times we'll use, that's where it comes in as an excuse.
Sure.
You know, so if you can say, well, what can you do that doesn't cost a lot of money and still move you forward? People may want to go to school and they say, well, I don't have the money to go to school. Well, what have you checked out in terms of scholarships or, you know, student loans or grants, right? So I think what, in a way, sometimes they will use an excuse because of the fear of, well, there's really a fear underneath that. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it well. I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So breaking down what's stopping you will help you understand that piece for yourself. So then you can look at, okay, let's look at this realistically and what can I do?
And that's where it's so great to have a coach, I would think, because they can really support you in that process and, you know, kind of see things that perhaps, you know, we can't see ourselves because of our blind spots.
Very well said, Sharon. Thanks for saying that, because that's what happens. Working with a coach is people seeing what you can't see. Because as you said, we can't see our own stuff. I can't see my own stuff. So I need to, you know, sometimes I'll you know, say something to you know, a wise counsel, a coach, and sometimes even my family, my parents and my husband, and they'll bring up things. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I guess I missed that one. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, so
we
it
need
is.
Each other. We need each other.
We need yes. That's why we're on the planet, to be with each other.
Oh, so true. So true. And then the fifth step.
The fourth step. Actually, we're on to the fourth step.
Fourth
and
one.
So
okay.
Once you figure out what's stopping you, the next step is to take any action. I call this take any action. Because as we were saying, you know, we get to let the excuses, the fears, the different things stop us. So And with a coach, what I do, too, is I help people. This is that ease into action. I kind of like that phrase was bringing in, because I was thinking, I, even for myself, and again, as perfectionist procrastinators, I don't like sometimes when people say, just do it. Just jump into action. That kind of scares me, you know.
Sure.
It's more about easing. I, you know, work with my clients to ease into action, which means is what is one small little thing that you can do that will go in the direction that you're wanting to go to help you move forward. Because really the truth is that the only way to gain confidence is to take action. And what we think most often is that if I just had confidence, then I could, you know, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is we don't get confidence until we do something. So if you look at it from a baby toddler perspective, you know, the baby wanted to learn to walk. They could have just said, you know, I see these people walking around, and it'd be really nice to do that. That'd be great. And then they don't do anything, right? Well, they're never going to learn to walk, right? So eventually they get up, and they take their first step, and they fall a number of times, right? But they get back up and they figure out how to get the balance on the other foot, and pretty soon they got the hang of that foot. And now they're bringing the other one over, right? And they fall and they get up and they figure out how to bring the other one. And it brings them confidence in how to take a step and how to walk.
Right.
And that's how we learned how to do everything in our lives. That's how we learned how to walk and drive a car and you know, add numbers and everything that we've ever done in our lives is because we eased into action. We took little bitty steps to be able to do that. And once you do that, and also to really encourage yourself and get encouragement from others, have somebody say, you know, way to go, and we do that for babies, and we forget to do that for ourselves.
Yes. Do you find that sometimes clients want to do too much at first, Andy, instead of taking those baby steps?
Absolutely. And when you take the big risk, the giant leaps, the dive off the cliff,
right?
It can make changes, But what happens is that the further, the stronger the action is that you're taking, the more out of the comfort zone the action is you're taking, the scarier it's going to be for you.
Sure.
And so that's really one that procrastination is going to set up, because it's too big for you right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to, you're a baby, and instead of trying to take your first step, you're trying to run a marathon. Okay? Mm-hmm. You just have to take the other step first.
Right.
And
right.
learn to do that. Get your legs together, and then you can learn to run. But in,
yeah.
or, you know, instead of trying to run a marathon and you can barely walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it definitely happens that people do that. I did a workshop one time, and we were sort of talking about this concept, and she said, I have something I call the snapback effect, which basically says if you're holding a rubber band, one kind of next to your, you know, one side in your comfort zone and the other like out there further, the further out you go, if you let go of that rubber band, it would snap back to your comfort zone. And so I was talking about, you know, the further away, the bigger the snapback. And so she was saying, she came to me on the break and she said, no wonder I'm so exhausted and no wonder I can't do anything. I feel frozen because everything I'm doing is so far, is such a big, you know, jump, such a big
yes.
leap that I'm exhausted and I don't want to do anything anymore.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
That makes good sense.
So ease into action with small steps.
Mm, I love that word, those words, ease into action. Makes it sound so easy and capable and being able to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the doable. It makes
yes,
it doable.
Yes, the doable.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
true.
And then the perfectionism and the people-pleasing and all that stuff will start to retreat a little bit. They won't be as strong.
Yeah.
You kind of get away from that if you're saying, oh, well, I can just do this little thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think with these steps, Sandy, you've really demystified the idea of confidence. You know, you're putting it down into such doable steps that I think this is going to be a fantastic book and, you know, one that people can really take a hold of and create a change.
Yeah, thank you. And in the book, what I did, and it isn't out yet. It'll be out probably in, within a couple of weeks. I'm doing final edits and then the, you know, the final everything to it. But all the chapters or the chapters in the book, I'll have little exercises in them so that people can practice all these little things. So when we're talking mm-hmm. about the taking action step, it is, you know, what is it, you get to the point where, you know, what it is that you want and what you're wanting to move forward on. And then we talk, you know, I talk about starting small and focusing on one thing, committing to it. And the final piece in that with the taking action step is to detach from the outcome. Not look at it that it has to be perfect, that it has to come out just a certain way. It's not about, it's more about the doing of it. It's more about the process of moving forward, not that it has to look a certain way when it's done. So the exercise in the book talks about those pieces of it as you're taking the action.
That's a big thing to really detach from the outcome, because so many times it's the goal that's up there that, you know, we're all chasing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a gentleman that I just was listening to a teleclass on recently, and his sort of mantra is perfect as you go, meaning just get something going and you can fix it later.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so I really love that, because it's you know, his name is Christian Michelson, and it's really about just move forward on something and then you can fix it. So perfect as you go, rather than wait to make it perfect.
Right. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Again, the perfection of procrastination really works in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then are you ready for the final one?
Sure, ready for the final one.
So now that you're taking a little bit of action, getting the, you know, your kind of baby steps going forward and getting a little confidence, the fifth and final step here is to keep going. Keep going. True inner confidence comes from sustained action, from actually moving and keeping going. Successful people are people who, you know, have been successful in different areas of their life, have perseverance, persistence, and what I call stick-to-itiveness.
Mm.
That's a tough one to say over and over again.
Yeah, right.
So, if you think about inventors, for example, they had this idea, right? And they said, I want to make this happen, right? So they committed. And then they didn't just say, well, I'm going to try this once, and if it doesn't work, that's it, I'm done. I'm a failure,
yeah.
and I'm done.
Yeah.
No, inventors know that it's going to take over and over and tweaking and fixing and learning and from that one that didn't work, and you adjust things and you try it again, and if that doesn't work, you figure out what happened, and they just keep going. They have stick-to-itiveness. And I know for myself, this is one of the areas that I'm still working on for myself, because I will get frustrated easily. Again, the perfectionism comes in there and says, well, you've tried it 3 times.
Yes.
And like, okay, I give up.
Right.
Now, giving up is just, an obstacle. And for me, that's one of my obstacles to get through, is when I say, start saying that, go, okay, now wait a minute, do you want to do this or not? And really having that perseverance and sticking to it, knowing that you're going to learn along the way, that you are going to make mistakes, that it's part of the process, and that if you continue to persist, that's how successful people reach their goals. They keep persisting. They keep, and one of, using a sports analogy, Tiger Woods, who is probably one of the, best golfers ever, he practices all the time.
Yeah.
He has coaches. He doesn't win every tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out there always persevering and continuing to learn and to get better and to hone his skill and to hone his craft. And that's what we all need to do, no matter what our, what we're trying to hone our craft, whether that's getting healthier or building our confidence or being able to speak up for ourselves, to ask for what we want, to say no, to any of the things that we're wanting to do, is really about that perseverance.
Mm. Five great steps, Sandy.
Thank you.
Can you let people know how they can get a hold of you if they're interested in doing that?
Sure, absolutely. What I did, my website is innerconfidencecoach.com, so inner as in inside, I-N-N-E-R, confidence, C-O-N-F-I-D-E-N-C-E, coach.com,
okay.
And you can also see it from Sharon's page on Blog Talk as well. And when you go to the site, I just posted a inner confidence assessment.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
You can take risks on every page, but it's in my sort of news box. You can click on that, and you can find out how much inner confidence you have now.
Mm.
And so that kind of gives you a start, and there's also a link to that, in the book that I have here too. And so if you do that, and right underneath it, there's also an e-newsletter, which is a free e-newsletter. So you can access the assessment right away. If you want to sign up for my e-newsletter, then you will be able to get, I'll send articles and tips and that sort of thing, and you'll get notification when the book is released. So that you can do that. And also, of course, on the website, you can find out more about me and my programs and be able to contact me. Email and all that stuff is on there. But I just really encourage everybody to take the inner confidence assessment and find out where you are. Also, to sign up for the e-news so that you can be notified when the book comes out. And again, the book title is I Think, Therefore I Doubt, 12 Key Principles to Build Self-Confidence and Self-Trust for Perfectionists, People Pleasers, and Heart-Centered Women.
Ah, how exciting to have your book almost ready to be out there for everyone. What a thrill.
Thanks. It is. It's fun. I mean, when it came,
yes.
When the first copy came, because I had just a couple of copies printed so I could do the final edits, and it was like, I took it and I got it out of the box, and I went, it looks like a book. It has pages. It looks like these books I see in the bookstores. I was so excited.
Oh, and what you shared today, I mean, just really is just so powerful in the area of gaining confidence. So I'm sure that your book will just have a wonderful, wonderful information in it to support people.
Well, thanks, Sharon.
Yes. See if we have any calls. If you are on the lines here or in the chat room and would like to ask a question, you can type it into the chat room. For those who are you on the telephone, if you want to go into the chat, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com/Sharon-Anne. That's SHARON-ANNE. And you can ask a question, or you can push 1 on your touch tone pad. So we'll give people a chance right there. I have another question, or if you could just maybe clarify a little bit more about a snapback effect. You were talking about that in terms of having like a rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
And can you just go a little bit more over that to give some more details about what that is?
Sure. When we all kind of sort of live in our comfort zone because it's comfortable there, and we know what that looks like for us. And so it's sort of like a cocoon, right? It's comfortable and snug, and
sure.
We know what's there. And so whenever we are deciding to do anything, even a decision can put us out of our comfort zone, right? When we have that commitment, that can push us outside of the comfort zone. And any action we take, you know, baby steps to leaps, can be out of our comfort zone. And so what the analogy that I use is, imagine that you're holding a rubber band. I'm holding a rubber band. And one finger of that rubber band I'm holding right to my, I always call it my chest wall, my sternum, and that is my, that represents my comfort zone. Okay, so I'm holding on to that end of the rubber band forever. I'm not letting that go because that's my comfort zone. With the other hand, I'm going to pull that rubber band out a little bit. So let's say we're pulling it out to like a stretch area, small baby steps. Mm-hmm. If I was to let that rubber band go, it would snap back to the comfort zone. Right?
Okay.
So now let's say I'm going to do the same thing, but this time I'm going to take something. It's a little bit more in the baby step. It's kind of like a giant step forward. Okay. So that'd be like pulling the rubber band out to that giant step forward. Now, if I let go of it there, it's still going to snap back, but it will snap back faster and a little bit more intense than the baby step.
Right.
Now, if I pulled the rubber band out to leaping off a cliff or jumping off a cliff, jumping off the high dive, okay,
yeah.
And I let go, much faster, much more intense snap back.
Sure.
So you want to get it where, yes, you're going to probably have some kind of snapback effect, but it's going to be a lot less of a, you know, deal if you do it from a baby step versus, you know, jumping off the diving board.
Sure, yes.
And the other thing is that the more that, using the same rubber band analogy, the more that you stay in the baby steps area, it's like taking a rubber band, like if you had like elastic around your pants or something, right? And you kept washing and wearing and washing and wearing and washing and wearing, what would happen to that elastic? It would start to wear out and, you know, get bigger.
Yes.
So the more little baby steps we take, the more we sort of stretch out our comfort zone. So
that
things
makes
that were baby steps now are like, oh, that's no big deal. I've done it a few times. I can do that, no problem.
Right.
So it's really about keeping it within an area that is still moving you forward out of your comfort zone to build the confidence. The confidence does not live in the comfort zone. I mean, it does and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
We're on automatic pilot on our comfort zone, but we become confident in moving forward and making changes in our lives out of the comfort zone.
And the smaller they are, the more secure your foundation is in moving forward.
Exactly, because if you want to have successes. It's important
right.
to have successes. In order to really build confidence, you want to have successes and believing in yourself that you can do it, that
right.
you have what it takes, you know, to do whatever you want to do. You believe in yourself. And so if you take a giant leap and it doesn't happen, you just kind of go, well, I'm not going to do that again.
Yes, yes.
But if you take one little thing, like let's say that you, you know, were doing that, the weight health thing, and you decided that, okay, I'm going to move. And I say sometimes, you know, when people start, well, how about walking in place for a minute? Do you think you could do that? And they're like, well, yeah. Okay. And they kind of laugh. What are you laughing about? Well, that's just too easy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but would you do it? So it's kind of like if you were to do that and you did it and you were successful, you go, well, that's pretty easy. That's almost how you want to move forward. You
yes.
want to move something going, well, that's not so bad. Okay, I did that. That wasn't so bad. I can do it again or I can do the next thing.
Isn't it interesting, though, how in our nature we don't usually want to do those little steps? We want the bigger one. But
yeah,
it's so important, to, you know, so important to build those in, you know?
Good point. Yeah, I don't know what it is about us. We think we have to go for the big stuff.
Right.
And yet we don't. We don't go for the big stuff. And so we think
so
we should.
Yeah.
But it makes it so much easier
when we take it, you know, step by step.
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to mention that's in the book that, because again, the title of the book is I Think, Therefore I Doubt, and part of that is about helping you make decisions. And the final chapter in the book is really about giving you some ideas on how to make decisions. And so I have some actually decision questions in there, because part of building your inner confidence is being able to answer your own, make your own decisions and answer your own questions. So, for example, let's say that you were trying to decide whether you wanted, somebody invited you somewhere, and you were trying to decide whether or not you were going to go. So you could just ask yourself a couple of decision questions, such as, How do I really feel about this? If I went, would I be giving anything else up? You know, would I regret not going? You know, which would I regret more, going or not going?
Great questions.
You know, so how you feel about it? Are you doing this because you want to do it or because somebody else wants you to do it? And then you could maybe say, well, because somebody else wants me to do it. So is that okay with you?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's fine if you say, yes, I'm going because, you know, she's my best girlfriend and she wants me to go. Is that okay with you? Yeah, that's okay because she's my best girlfriend. Now, if somebody else asks you and you're saying, is that okay? Do I really want to go? Not really. Are you going because somebody wants you to, or because you want to, or because somebody else wants you to? Is that okay with you? No, it's really not okay with me.
You're bringing things up into the light. You know,
yes.
Because so many things, so many times questions, when you don't ask those questions, you don't really know what the feelings are. But those are excellent questions, bringing that to the light. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Great. We just have a couple minutes left here, and I have one more question. And step number three, what is stopping you, was the point you have to ask that. And you mentioned that sometimes people give up quickly. Can you list just a couple other ones, Sandy, that your clients have shown you sometimes why people are what is stopping people from moving forward in various scenarios? Giving up is one that you mentioned.
Giving up is one. I think that, you know, I think that fear, a lot of it is fear that underlies most everything.
Yes.
Fear of, I don't know how to do it. Fear of, I can't do it. I don't have the ability. That's a self-belief, a self-doubt that I don't have the ability to do it. Fear, there are some times that people actually do have a fear of success. There's more of a fear of failure or fear of rejection, that somebody's going to laugh at me. If I do it wrong, someone's going to, you know, think I'm stupid. Or that kind of thing in terms of like personal relationships. Sometimes we don't ask for what we want or say what we think because we think someone may not like what we think.
Yes.
May
fear
not like
takes
what we
so many
think.
Different forms, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Tons of different forms. And so that's, you know, again, one of the areas that I work on with my clients is really understanding it and knowing what, again, what it is exactly that's stopping you, so that you can say, if it is a fear of what they may think about you, well, is it more important what you think about you or what other people think about you?
Sure. Yeah.
And yes, it may seem like it's about other people, so how can we make the conversation so it's supporting you and supporting them?
Mm.
So there's a lot of ways to look at it. But I think fear, that I don't know what to do, and I'm not good enough to do it, and I may fail or get rejected, I think are probably the main things that happen to help
sure.
people.
Thank you. I just want to let people know you are listening to Sandy Goodwin, and she has a new book coming out. It is called I Think, Therefore I Doubt, 12 Key Principles to Building Self-Confidence and Self-Trust for Perfectionistic People, People-Pleasers, and Heart-Centered Women. Would you give your website one more time, Sandy, and how people can contact you?
Certainly. The website is innerconfidencecoach.com, innerconfidencecoach.com. And if that's too long, you can always also access it by coachsandyg.com, coachsandy, S-A-N-D-Y, the letter G.com. It'll
Excellent.
Take you right there.
Excellent. Well, this has been a wonderful hour. Thank you so much for sharing this information, and I'm sure your book will be a great success. We'll have to have you come back again and share more of your insight.
I'd love to. Thank you so much, Erin.
Great. Thank you. Talk to you again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye for now. I want to let you know that next week's program is going to be held on Wednesday due to a traveling schedule of mine and also moving. Caitlin LaBoyer is going to be with me, and she's going to be talking about singing. She is a writer and has also recreated her life in the area of singing, and she has a beautiful CD out called Perfectly Imperfect, and she'll be sharing some songs from that CD, and that's going to be on Wednesday next week, June 3rd, from 1 to 2 o'clock. And then the following week, it will be back on to the regular schedule, Friday at 2:30. Thanks for listening to The Voice of Change, and you heard today Sandy Goodwin.